Mike, I have my new desk all put together. It's very nice.
I really don't care. Exploding Barrel Podcast for February 4th, 2011. This is Mike Minotti. I'm joined by my brother, Ajgai.
Hello.
Here's today's show. We're going to do the news. How's the news? Is there much
newsy?
Newsy?
I got news.
I got news. Not like last week when we had a whole system announced, but there'll be news.
Right.
And I got the quiz, the Great American Ajgai Gaming Quiz, making its triumphant return. How about this? A new segment.
Ooh.
Yes.
What is it?
Well, you know, like most of our segments, it's stolen from Pardon the Interruption.
Good.
You know, they're odds makers.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have our own, like, odds thing. I guess we can call it, what are the odds? Or something lame like that. Something
what are the odds?
Something
I like that.
Something
no,
with
that's
the word
it.
Odds in the name.
It's now what are the odds, because I like that.
All right, that's good. So after that, we'll talk about our week in gaming. We'll get to the releases, and that'll be the show. So why don't you get us going?
All right, so apparently PlayStation Plus is getting its first actually cool and unique feature, cloud saving.
Nice.
Anyone who uses Steam is familiar with this. Basically, it'll back up all your save games to the cloud, allowing you to, you know, access them, or if your drive gets damaged, or your PlayStation stolen, or anything crazy, you're good. The only mucky thing with this is, like, you know how, like, I can't get my Killzone 2 save off of your PS3 because it's, like, locked to the console?
Yeah.
That could still happen, where, like, developers could lock saves to the console so they still can't go to the cloud.
So basically the only advantage... Oh, I got you. Okay.
Yeah, so which is kind of lame, because, like... That's why I would get that, so I could get that damn Killzone save off of yours, but if it's, like, still locked, well, great. Hmm. But still, it is neat. I've wished one of the console makers would do this for a while, because it's really great on Steam. So,
yeah,
good for them.
It's getting to a point where I need my memory for other things and not game saves.
Like I said, I just like that security of, like, not worrying about accidentally deleting something
or
losing something. I mean... How nice would that be to have your Mass Effect save file stored securely on a cloud somewhere?
I know. I'm still constantly, like, nervous. Something's going to happen to it.
Which reminds me, I don't think I updated it since I played Lair of the Shadow Broker. I just emailed it to myself in Gmail as a zip file.
I think I need to do that.
Yeah. No, because I was listening to, we're going a huge tangent already, on the Mobcast, the one guy who was on there, I forget who it was.
Who was it?
It was one of the Bitmob staff. I can't remember
who it was. I know him. Who was it?
I don't know.
I want to know which of my coworkers it was.
It's the guy who wrote the article about dying in games.
That's very vague.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, he lost his Mass Effect save file.
That's the worst.
That is the worst.
I would actually play it again, both of them. Outside
he was trying
of
to
that.
Wonder though, like if he would like play it as deeply as he had before. Or if he,
no, that, like, I guess that's true. Like I wouldn't be so. I would be compelled to go through and like make the important decisions again.
Right.
That would suck, though. I'd be so lame.
Yeah.
I'd be.
I would just cry.
I'd be so mad at myself.
You just wouldn't hear from me for 3 days.
You're like, oh, you don't get to play Mass Effect 3 now. What? Next.
Next is where'd it go?
I thought you had three monitors. Now you're just bragging to me.
Well,
why
I was trying to find. I was trying to find who that was. Let's see. Okay, did you hear about that Sierra Adventure game website, Sarian?
Yes.
Well, like, it got pulled.
That should have been your, you could have used that as, you know, to like, bridge the gap between those two stories, your lead-in. Because Sarian was the name of the bad guy from the first Mass Effect, wasn't it?
It was Sarin, not Sarian, but close.
Oh, never mind then. Continue, excuse me.
It's actually, it had been around for a while, but it got really big when he made an HTML5 iPad-compliant version of it, so you could play, like, all these old Sierra point-and-clicks on your iPad.
Well, are they even point-and-clicks? Aren't they more like... Or some of them more like type and
text. He worked in point and click interfaces to all of them.
Oh, cool.
Basically, Activision saw that and was like, hang on, we're Activision. You can't do that. Cease and desist. He actually then contacted them back and said, can we work something out? And they responded with a surprising yes. So now he had to get rid of the iPad version. They wouldn't have that.
Sure.
But he's allowed to have the web version up with the first game in each series, along with links to where they can be purchased on Steam.
That's fair enough.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good deal.
How much are those games anyways? Like a buck?
Yeah.
You'd have to pay me to play.
Well, I think you have to buy them in the collections.
Well, still, I mean...
Like King's Quest and Space Quest.
Well, no one's going to buy King's Quest 3 and only King's Quest 3, right?
Right. Like I said, it's only in the collection.
You'd have to pay me to play through one of those really old adventure games.
That's the thing. Unless you have the nostalgia, they're really, really hard to get into.
Well,
really hard. I tried.
Anything,
really hard.
Anything pre-Monkey Island 1 is too much for me.
Yeah, I agree.
That's kind of my break. That's kind of like my point. Like, I can't do Maniac Mansion. I'm sorry. It's just too weird. Mm-hmm. Next.
So, apparently, Sony's toying with the idea of re-releasing PSP UMD-based games on NGP with NGP game cards.
Well,
shouldn't they just make sure everything gets digitalized?
I think they're pretty, for some reason, they seem to not be very high on a completely online game store anymore.
Like, I'm fine with NGP games being on these cartridges, but, like, what's the point of getting reprints of, like, Dissidia made? Like, when you have to go through all the cost of reprinting it, redistributing it, just make it a download.
I think this is almost more for the benefit of people like Square who have PSP 1 games coming out now and are probably kind of pissed because, now there's this other PSP 2 or whatever floating on the horizon and there's going to be no backwards compatibility.
Well, shit, you think the thing would be make it downloadable, say, buy this on your PSP, download it now, when you get your NGP, keep playing.
I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I just think it's backwards.
It should be backwards compatible. That's the problem.
Hey-o!
Oh,
nice.
Yeah,
nice.
See what I did there?
The OnLive Play Pack is live. $10 a month, 38 games. There's some good ones, actually, in there. Things like the new Prince of Persia.
Already
Unreal
getting
3.
Desperate.
Oh, I think it's a good... It's basically the Netflix model. The newer stuff's not in there, but...
We'll see.
Yep. What's next? Dragon Age 2 DRM. I actually have a couple DRM stories. Dragon Age 2's PC DRM is possibly the best PC DRM scheme I've seen.
Is that a new award now we have to give out at the end of the year?
Yes.
An award for best DRM.
Yes. If you're getting it on Steam, it's just Steam DRM, just like a Valve game or anything else, and that's fine, because I'm good with that model. If you do get just like a disc-based copy, the way it works is there's no limit to how many machines you can install it on. It'll just get angry with you if you try to play it on more than 5 machines within 24 hours. And just when you install it, there's an initial online check, and that's it. Like an activation, basically. So, I mean, in theory, if you and 5 friends wanted to go in on a copy of Dragon Age 2 on PC, you could. Because you don't even need the disc in to play.
I guess. In theory, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's almost kind of bad for them, though. This DRM seems almost too un-DRM-y.
We'll see how it works.
Yeah, I'm sure. I bet there'll be no difference anyways.
Yeah.
They're just taking a wash on the PC version. It's going to be pirated.
I know. They all do. That's the thing. It's like, no matter how hard you fight, you lose.
I think that's why. They almost regretted spending as much time as they did on the PC version of Dragon Age 1.
People like it better. I haven't
I know,
tried
they like it.
I actually
they probably also like the price they paid for it better, too. Which was nothing for most of them, because they stole it. Like the filthy pirates they are.
Okay.
But hey, that's my opinion.
Indeed. What was I going to say? Okay, then there was this ruckus where supposedly the DRM scheme for Bulletstorm was leaked, and it was going to be kind of like the Ubisoft games where it requires a constant internet connection.
Yes.
To which the People Can Fly guys came out and were like, no, that's not right. Like, apparently someone at EA copied the wrong DRM description into the product page or something. They're like, so it was just, like, wrong. But everyone got really pissed.
They usually do. Whiners.
But then, on the PlayStation 3, the recently released Bionic Commando Rearm 2 does require an active PSN connection to actually play it, even though there's no online play in the game at all.
Probably because they're worried people are going to pirate it.
Is it that easy to pirate a PSN game? I didn't know that.
I mean, I assume, sure, why not?
Okay. Well, there you go. There's your DRM for the day.
Yeah. I'm like the only guy who sympathizes more with the DRM.
I sympathize with what they need to do. Like I said,
I'm the only guy who probably thinks that they haven't gone too far, I guess.
I'm just of the mind that until it starts interfering with people's ability to legitimately play the game, that's when I have a problem.
Have you actually had that problem?
No,
has DRM ever actually affected you directly like that?
That's because I buy all my games on Steam. If it does, that's why I never bought an Ubi game on PC.
You don't
since
buy games on Steam
thing.
Because you're worried about DRM.
No, but the games I buy on Steam just use Steam DRM, which I'm fine with.
Right. I guess, I don't know. I'm more apt to get mad at pirates than anything else.
I mean, really, the biggest PC games I play are Blizzard games, and they just run through Battle.net, or, you know, it's an MMO, so you can't pirate it, so.
Don't you have to always be online to play StarCraft, or am I making that up?
No.
To be on Battle.net. Don't, yeah, I think you do.
You don't have to.
You don't have to?
No. I don't think so.
I wonder. Ahem. Next.
Sony is going to be revealing at GDC what they're calling Move Server, basically a Sony-sanctioned way of using the Move controller on PC.
Interesting.
So we'll start seeing all the Move hacks to go with the Kinect hacks. Probably things that'll combine the two, actually.
That'd be interesting. That's actually probably... That's going to be the nice thing. Mm-hmm. It's like kind of both of those. I mean, maybe. I guess
someone put up
a pretty cool
Kinect hack I saw this week. He used a Kinect with a Wii Motion Plus to basically do an augmented reality first-person shooter that looked to actually work.
Cool.
Yep. Steam has a new beta. They're now offering the ability to take screenshots in any Steam game and store the screenshots in the in the cloud.
We're talking a lot about clouds today.
Yeah.
So basically they're going to do what... I mean, that's nice. I don't know. What do you want me to say?
Yeah. You want to hate?
What? Me?
You know those like Microsoft to the cloud commercials, but like in most of those commercials, what they do have nothing to do with the cloud, like editing pictures.
Yeah, that's very true. Why are they going to the
really
cloud in that picture?
Me.
I didn't even think about it. Huh.
It's like, you're not to the cloud, it's just to my computer.
To my computer. Look what I can do with a computer and the specific programs. Wow. Computers sure are nice. Yes, they are. Computers are very nice indeed. Look at
They're
all this shit
they have
can
in
do.
Modern society.
Right. I mean, I guess it's kind of hard to convey in 30 seconds what the hell a cloud is in terms of storage.
That's the thing. Most people watching a computer are probably like, cloud? What?
What cloud? I don't... But she said, let's go to the cloud, but then she's on her computer. I don't like this commercial.
Yes.
Somebody help me, I'm old. I'm scared, where am I? How do you pause this damn TV?
Back in my
day,
paused the picture, it wavered up and down, you couldn't see anything.
Excuse me, sir, where could I buy a VCR?
Oh, God. One more person asked me that at work. I swear to God.
All right,
I'm going to tell them something not nice. No, I won't. I'll tell them we don't have any because they're old. Here's a shocker. Miyamoto has promised that there will be a new Super Mario Bros. 3DS.
I bet it's going to be a Galaxy game.
No, I mean, he said, like, in the vein of, like, new Super Mario Bros.
Oh, literally. Okay, that's not shocking. I mean,
I'd be fine with them just, like, porting Galaxy to the 3DS.
Well, I'd like a new one, but yeah. But yeah, I bet they'll still do that. But, you know, they'll make this and they'll sell 5 billion copies of it and they'll be happy.
Right. In getting ready for the imminent launch of Pokemon Black and White, Nintendo and Toys R Us are teaming up yet again to give you Ash's Pikachu from the upcoming Black and White TV series to use in all the other DS Pokemon games.
Though they keep saying from the Black and White TV series, but I mean, I have not watched the Pokemon anime in quite some time, but I assume it's the same Pikachu.
Right. This Pikachu comes with certain moves that I don't think Pikachu's normally
like Iron Tail. And
yeah.
It was like when Pikachu and Pokemon Yellow can learn Surf.
Oh, yeah, that was crazy.
Or something like that.
Because he had a surfboard or something?
Something
like
that, yeah. Like, that was like a different Pikachu. Yeah, something weird. But, yeah, that's nice. Mm-hmm. This Pikachu should be really strong. Like, definitely level 100 by now.
Yeah.
This Pikachu's been around.
Like, who's going to fuck with that Pikachu?
Team Rocket really wants it.
I know. Real bad.
I hope if you have Ash's Pikachu, you are literally harassed by Team Rocket, like, every 10 minutes. And you have to go fight a fucking Rattata or something. It's just, like, it's not hard. It's just annoying. You're just ecking and coughing. Oh, God.
Mike, that Rattata is in the top percentile of Rattata.
Did I tell you about the bumper sticker I saw with that?
No.
No, I didn't? Somebody has, like, a bumper sticker. And it's like those bumper stickers, like, my kid's a college student, you know? Uh-huh. It says, I have a picture of fucking Rattata, and it says, my Rattata is in the top percentage of Rattatas.
That's awesome.
I want one so bad.
Well, now I know what to get you for your birthday this year.
Oh, you're going to forget. Oh, well. Next.
Sony Ericsson's Xperia Play, a.k.a. the PlayStation Phone, a.k.a. the worst-kept secret since the PSP Go, has a commercial that is leaked onto the internet.
That's an interesting one.
And it's creepy as shit. Did you see it?
No. I mean, are we sure it's a real commercial? I heard about it. Like, they sew thumbs.
It looks pretty legit. I mean, it goes back into the vein of weird, creepy PlayStation commercials with crying baby dolls and bullshit. Where they take the normally adorable android mascot, but he's, like, in some back alley, like, doctor's office where, like, Yakuza go to get surgery done after they get shot. And he has, like, human thumbs grafted onto his little robotic arm so he can play with an Xperia Play. It's very creepy.
I still doubt it. I mean, I haven't seen it, but the Destructoid, like, ran some article where they were really pissy about some new PS3 commercials. And this guy was, like, really indignant about it. They had to, like, apologize. Like, oh, they're fake. Sorry, I said all those mean things about Sony that weren't true.
Yeah, I saw they were like spec commercials right. That some company wanted to get made.
Exactly.
Just stick with Kevin Butler, Sony.
Yeah, you'll be fine for a while.
Let him sell the Xperia Play. It'll be fine.
Why not? Get Marcus to do it.
Oh, God, that was a terrible idea.
Lol.
Oh, you poor, poor PC gamers who like Battlefield. In case you haven't figured it out yet, they've canceled Battlefield 1943 for the PC for reals now. And they've also canceled the Battlefield Bad Company 2 Onslaught DLC.
Too bad. Probably because you kept pirating things too much. That's my kind of go-to thing today. It's all the pirates' fault.
There you go.
Oh, but everything's expensive. We have to do it. No, you don't.
I'm just testing it to see if it runs on my system. I'll buy it after I see it works.
But sure actually, if a game's good, then I really go and buy it. Or even if it's not good, we still spread word about it and create sales. No, you don't.
That's my favorite.
I've heard it all.
We're free advertising.
I've heard it all. I hear some stuff that just pisses me off.
Yeah, me too. Dragon Age 2 gets a demo, and it's on my birthday that it comes out. Happy birthday to me. That's February 27th.
Yeah, I was about to say, why don't you tell everybody, you know, let's assume that maybe not our entire audience knows when your goddamn birthday is.
I was getting to it. February 22nd, coming out for PC, PS3, 360, and when you finish it, you get a free weapon unlock in the full game.
All right, AJ, I'll get you the Dragon Age 2 demo for your birthday.
Oh, glee and joy.
Lol.
Well, just for that, I'm not taking you to Japan's Joyopolis theme park so you can go to the Ace Attorney Investigations theme park attraction.
No. I heard about this. What exactly is this?
I don't know. It's like an interactive experience where you are Miles Edgeworth at a scene looking for clues to a crime.
Wow. It's like Mist Island.
Yeah, except it's like, you know, Ace Attorney.
Mikey Lucky.
All right, I'm done.
Cool, let's do the quiz.
Okay. I haven't done one of these in a while.
Yeah. Well, you'll probably fail. All right, here's our quiz. There's five questions, and the bonus question. I need 5 points to win. The original Dead Space takes place on what ship?
The USS Ishimura.
Okay, it's the IGS Ishimura.
Whatever.
I'm going to give it to you, because I'm pretty impressive. I mean, they must say that word a billion times in Dead Space 2.
No, I knew that, actually.
Okay, fair enough. Whatever. What was Visceral Games, who made Dead Space and Dead Space 2, what was their first release?
Dead Space?
No, James Bond 007 Agent Under Fire.
That's funny.
Good game, actually. So, how many total 007 games did they make? This is the third question.
Two?
Three. Agent Under Fire, Nightfire, and From Russia with Love.
Yeah.
What 2007 game did they make based off of a popular TV show?
Let's see. EA would have published it. Would EA TV show games get lost? Via Domus?
No, The Simpsons game.
Oh, that was them. I didn't realize that. That game was good.
Number five. What was the name of the first Simpsons game for the Game Boy? The one we had, yes.
Yeah, was it Escape from Camp Krusty?
Escape from Camp Deadly.
Damn it!
Bonus question. Which Simpsons game features Willy prominently featured on the cover?
The Simpsons game for PSP that came out in 2007?
What is that? That's the Simpsons game. No, Simpsons Wrestling.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yep.
I forgot about that.
Yes, didn't you? All right, you ready for what are the odds?
Yeah.
I can't even say the name of the straight face.
So explain the rules.
Well, it's pretty simple. I have 10 things here. I'm going to ask you, what are the odds that I'm going to make a sandwich, for instance? Mm-hmm. And you say, well, I think they're... You talk about it first if you want to, and then you kind of give me what your odds
are. Just give an arbitrary percentage number.
And then I will follow up and do mine.
Okay.
Anyway, if we were to have a guess, we would switch and stuff, but since I'm going to give you the topics, you'll go first for all these. You know, it'll be fine.
Okay.
So you ready? I guess, you know, it kind of stars you. You're our featured attraction, Ajga.
Woot.
You're our star analyst on the Exploding Barrel, so get ready.
I'm an analyst now.
All right. Here we go. You ready?
Yes.
Odds that there will be an Epic Mickey 2.
Hey. It's going to depend on a couple things. I mean, the game sold well. It's going to depend if they could make a bigger franchise out of it. Like, I know they're still going to do that comic. If they could get some merchandise moving for it, that's going to help. But then again, you know, Junction Point did have, like, some pretty big layoffs. We're not sure to what extent that hurts their development capacity. If it was just, like you were saying before, like, it was just those guys you bring on at the end for crunch.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it did do really well. All the systems are getting motion controls now. They could bring it to the PS3 and the 360, possibly. So I'll give it a 68% chance.
Yeah, I'll go slightly higher. I know everyone freaked out about those layoffs, and they are mildly concerning, but I still think that's kind of like what happens when a game is released. You lay off a lot of the programmers, whatever. You kind of hire them back when you're at that stage again 3 years ago in the next game. But it sold over 1 million units. It's a, you know, it's that Mickey name in there. Plus, there's so much potential in all of these other systems. I'll give it an 80% chance of happening.
All right.
Okay, odds that the last story will be localized for North America.
Oh, let's see. Last Odyssey came out here. Apparently it's doing well in Japan, too.
But it came out in Japan and hasn't been announced for here yet.
Right, right. I mean, what system is it even on?
Wii. It's a Wii game.
Okay, yeah. I'm sure someone like, what's the company that brought out, one Shane Bettenhausen works for, Ignition. I wouldn't be surprised to see like them pick it up or something. I'll give that an 80% chance.
I gotta go a little bit lower. I don't think that, you know, saying that a JRPG did really well in Japan, that doesn't really help their cause a whole lot. I don't know if someone's going to bring this game to America, it probably has to be Nintendo. I don't know how willing they are to handle it because nobody else wants to release an RPG that's this high profile, like this expensive to localize, to voice cast, and all that stuff. No one wants to like do that for the Wii. Has there been a successful JRPG for the Wii yet?
Well, no, and I think no one's really tried.
Right, and that's why I don't think anyone wants to take a chance on this. I mean, I think, you know, it can happen, just because part of me thinks, well, why not? I mean, we see this happen all the time, but the fact that it hasn't happened yet, when asked why, they're like, oh, there's so much text. It sounds kind of like a bullshit answer to me. I feel like there's something else going on. I don't know. Let's say 50% chance it'll happen. Kind of could go either way. Next, odds that Battlefield 3, which was recently announced, it's been announced, but it was the cover was revealed.
Yeah, they're going to get a big blowout in Game Informer.
So odds that Battlefield 3 will sell better than a post-Infinity Ward gate Modern Warfare 3.
I mean, Battlefield Bad Company 2 was really popular. I think more so than a lot of people expected. And apparently the Vietnam add-on they did for it is also really good. It'll depend, because a lot of the PC gaming crowd is very worried that they're going to consoleize it, because the, Battlefield titles proper have always been more PC-focused, a little more complex. So it'll depend how they split that difference.
Are you saying its sales are going to be bothered if they don't cater to PC gamers?
Well, the problem is because the PC gaming crowd who will want this will reject it if it goes to console, but the series proper has never been tested on console. I don't know. I assume the Battlefield name would be enough.
I don't get that. Are you telling me that something like Battlefield 2 couldn't work on a console now?
Have you ever actually played it? Like, it's got, like, you know, the commander mode. There's a bajillion key bindings you really need to use in it. I mean, it just wasn't designed for console. You could make it work.
I don't think it's... I mean, I think... Look, they're clearly going after Modern Warfare here, right?
Right, right.
But keep going, because you haven't even given your odds yet.
Yeah, I mean... It's Call of Duty's still in that phase right now, though, where it doesn't... Like, the next Call of Duty game could literally be the worst game ever made. It will still sell a hajillion copies. Like, there's going to have to be a bad one, and then the next one will suffer. And everyone pretty much likes Black Ops fine. So I think, like, this next Call of Duty's foolproof. So I'm only going to go with, like, a 25% chance of Battlefield 3 outdoing it.
Yeah, I'll just go lower than that. Like you said, I mean, no one's going to topple the next Call of Duty. I mean, the average consumer has no idea what happened with Infinity Ward. They don't probably even know what Infinity Ward is.
Especially if the next one is just called Modern Warfare 3.
Right. It'll sell a zillion copies, 5% chance at best. I sound like Scott Steiner now. All right, next. Odds that we won't see another big content patch for Team Fortress 2.
0%. They're beta testing one right now.
Are they?
Yeah, you could opt into it.
I didn't know that. Tell me about it.
Yeah.
Because there haven't been one in a while.
It's a lot of balance tweaks, some new weapons. I don't know a lot of the specifics. I haven't gotten around to trying it at all.
I mean, is there more maps?
I think so, yeah.
They haven't done anything since the Engineer one.
Right.
I feel like that was a while ago.
Well, that was like the last class that we needed tooled. I'm still waiting for my damn Meet the Medic and Meet the Pyro videos.
Right, right. Well,
but I mean, there will be more. I don't think it's going to be as big as it has been in the past. It's like I said, because all the classes have gotten their specific updates, but there will always be content coming.
All right, well, I guess that's a 0% chance then. Next, odds of DC Universe Online being free to play this time next year.
It should be. I'll give you that.
What does that mean?
I mean, I think that'd be smart of them to do, to make it free to play, because it's not going to have legs. The level cap is level 30. People are hitting that in a week. It's not going to have legs.
What is the post game like for it, I wonder?
It's rating, but right. Like, what, you know, it's just, is the content that compelling? I mean, they are doing monthly kind of like content things. Like, I know they had their first one come out. For like some Valentine's Day themed stuff and some Catwoman themed stuff. I mean, I don't know how substantial that is. It just doesn't seem like this game has enough content to last you longer than like a year. So I think they should, but I don't think they will. It's Sony Entertainment Online. They're never gonna do anything like that. I mean, even when they did finally make EverQuest 2 free to play, it was all janky. There's like two separate servers. There are weird tiers to it. I just don't see it happening. So, I mean, I'm only going to go with, like, a 15% chance of that happening.
Yeah, but something's got to give. I mean, I don't know how strong this game's going to sell. Initially, maybe it sold well, but now that reviews are coming out, now people are kind of hearing things about it, and a lot of it is kind of mediocre at best. I can't imagine if maybe 200,000 copies it'll sell, and then a year from now, how many people are going to be playing that?
Not many.
And especially when we start seeing more MMORPGs going free-to-play and we start hearing about how it's more profitable for them, I gotta go higher. I say there's probably a 60% chance that it'll be free-to-play by this time next year.
I'll tell you when most MMOs will start even just like coming out free-to-play is the day World of Warcraft goes free-to-play.
Oh, well, that won't happen.
Oh, it'll happen eventually.
Nah,
just not for a
like
long 10 time.
Years from now. Maybe. I don't know. I don't even know about that. Could still be making a decent... If World of Warcraft's user base went down by 75%, they could still make a lot of money off of its subscription fee.
Yeah.
I don't know. No. I don't see that. All right. Odds that someone will ask an awkward rape-related question at a PAX East Q&A. This has turned into a... Their Dick Wolf comic thing has turned into this giant controversy now.
And, of course, everybody misses the true controversy that they ripped you off.
Yes, trust me, that has not escaped me. The irony that comic is a total ripoff of mine. Not unintentionally, of course, but God damn it. Like, this off-brush comment about Dick Wolf raping gets all the attention.
I can understand people are upset that, you know, clearly rape is a bad thing. And But the thing is, too, like, they're saying, oh, rape's not a punchline. It wasn't even the punchline of that comic.
I think, and where I can sympathize with some people, not so much that comic or that joke, which was clearly very, it was pretty silly, the mm-hmm. notion of being raped by a dick wolf. Maybe the response to it wasn't great. Penricade has always kind of been known for responding to whatever small controversies come up rather well. And mm-hmm. they did not to this one at all. They antagonized their attackers instead.
Yeah, and then things just really got to a head with a supposed death threats over Twitter of Gabe's family.
Sure.
And it's
but
just
both sides don't look good. And it's over something pretty silly. But I'm worried now that PAX East is going to somehow be about this and not about games, you know?
I mean, I would almost not even be surprised to see them put up some kind of disclaimer. Like, don't bring this up at PAX. If you do, like, we're not going to answer it. Just like how
see,
they
that's
have the standard.
That, yeah.
Well, I mean, they already tell you at the Q&As that if you ask any questions about who would win in a fight, you'll be asked to leave the theater.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But see, that's a joke again.
Yeah, that's a joke. I mean, I'm sure someone will bring it up at some point, and then they'll try to have a frank discussion about it, and it may be awkward. It may not be. It depends who's in the room. But I'm sure someone will say something. I'm going to go with like an 80% chance.
Yeah, I mean, just what you said. Probably more like a 90% chance. Someone's going to bring it up. It's going to be weird. People will be wearing their Dick Wolf T-shirts. That wasn't a good idea. Can we agree?
Yeah, that was not. And then you know, someone's going to say something, and then the crowd's going to start booing that person. That's going to make it bad.
Right. That's. It's just I don't like it. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's making me uncomfortable. It's going to suck. Because then, like, what if this somehow ruins PAX?
Yeah.
The great bastion of nerd camaraderie, you know?
Right.
Yeah, we'll see. It'll see how they handle it from here. I find it weird that people started to, you know, this is what we're going to wag our fingers at Penny Arcade for. They've always been slightly, brazen.
Yeah, good word.
You know what I mean? But whatever. You know, rape, not something they mess around with, I guess.
Hmm.
Odds that Dead Space 2 will be remembered for Game of the Year talk come next December.
I don't know. It's a very good game. Doesn't do anything particularly new or innovative from its predecessor. It's just super polished. And this is the year that we're getting Skyrim and Uncharted and Rage is coming out and just and Mass Effect. I mean, it's going to be a very stacked winter. I think people will mention it, but it's not going to like win any Game of the Year awards or something. Be like, oh yeah, I remember Dead Space coming out January. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I think
like that's what it'll get. So, yeah, like a whatever percentage that translates to. Let's say 20.
Yeah, it'll be like last year's Bayonetta. It's that game that came out in January that everyone kind of liked when it came out and it got good reviews, but when you get further away from it, it's kind of hard to stack it up against the great games that came out in the year.
I didn't think it'll even do better than Bayonetta. I mean, you know, some people like Bayonetta a lot, some people don't.
Bayonetta reviewed really well, though.
Yeah, it reviewed well.
But yeah, you're probably about right. 10%. Let's go with 20. I'll agree with you for once.
All right.
Odds that Two Worlds 2 will break 100,000 sales in the U.S.
Well, there's two worlds, so each world needs to sell 50,000. But then there's times two, so that takes them up to 200,000. So I'm going to give this a 200% chance that they will accomplish it.
I wonder how much the first...
The numbers don't lie.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. I wonder how much did the first two worlds sell, I wonder?
Probably not much.
Well, the point is, I mean, everyone seems to say that, yeah, Two Worlds 2 is better.
Yeah, but like...
It's like a 7 instead of a 3.
It's like, yesterday I had diarrhea, but I don't anymore, so my shit today was a lot better.
Yeah.
Did everyone enjoy that mental image?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. They're not great. Let's give it a 10% chance. Did you see how, like, a slave sold 4,000 whatever units?
400,000, yeah.
But I don't get it, because, you know, I guess that's bad. How much?
Apparently,
How much was Enslaved expected to sell?
I don't know.
As a new IP, not advertised.
Yeah, not advertised at all from a relatively small studio
in the middle of the holiday season.
Yeah, well, right at the start. It came out, like, around the same time that Halo did.
Almost everything about it is not current trends, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's a single-player-only adventure action game.
Again, that game comes out in, like, July? It's gangbusters. It's the only thing out of that caliber.
I don't know. Like, I just don't understand, like... maybe it was really expensive to make, I guess, and it won't make a profit.
Maybe. I mean, it did use a lot of mocap, Andy Serkis.
Right,
in it.
But I mean, I just, like, to me, this baffles me that they thought that that could sell a million copies. That has nothing to do with quality.
Yeah.
It's just, like, you have to have reasonable expectations at some point. Like, expectations seem to translate to me like our biggest hopes for something a lot of times.
I think a lot of it, though, it's this analogous thought to the way the movie industry works, where typically if you throw a lot of money at a movie, it tends to do well because people go see that. But then, like, you know, when you make, like, the art house film, you don't need it to do well because it was inexpensive to make. But, like, the art house equivalent of gaming is still really expensive.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, just like a movie, like, for example, let's say Mulholland Drive is kind of designed for a niche audience. Enslaved was for a niche audience, but it still costs just as much to make as, you know, something up there with Uncharted.
Exactly. I just don't know what they thought it was going to do. I don't understand how that's disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe it's disappointing because they didn't manage their budget well or whatever. I mean, you know, I'm not a game sales analyst or whatever. It's kind of weird that, like, if you don't sell a million copies, your game failed. Whoa. Every game has to sell so many. That's a lot of like, how many people are going to buy Enslaved? What? I don't know. I feel like that was pretty good for Enslaved, but what do I know?
Yeah.
So, okay, anyways, next odds thing. Okay, odds that Phoenix Wright will be a DLC character for Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
The idealist in me wants to make this very high, because, I mean, there's been verbal demand for it across the world. They acknowledge said demand, but they don't want to. They're like, yeah, we know, everyone really wants, but it'd be really hard, and I don't know. I mean, his attacks, I know we put the guy who had a camera in our last game and made him work, and everyone's pretty much just laid out exactly what to do, but that was their ideas. We'd rather do it ourselves, but we can't think of anything. I don't know. We don't like money. So, I mean, realistically, 33% chance, but it should be higher.
Yeah, it's not going to be great. It'll be like a 20% chance, I say. Just because, like I said, they seem like they have no interest in wanting to do it. Just like how it seems like they just don't want to do Mega Man.
I'm getting worried about this game. Like, I look at all these characters in it, and I'm just, I'm worried about the character choices, frankly.
I mean, I'm sure I'm going to find three characters I like.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, it seems like they're designing it for that. Like, all these random Marvel characters that no one cares about. No one.
I know, yeah.
X-23? Who? If you're going to play her, why wouldn't you just play Wolverine? Like, people aren't... There will be a subset of the culture of this game that will play it for the skill and this character has the best moves, blah, blah, blah. Most people who are going to pick this up want to play as the characters they know. They don't care that Wolverine's dual claw faints into a counter. They just care that it's fucking Wolverine, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got you. And, well, because it's probably weird because a lot of their feedback for this game probably came from Marvel's Capcom 2 fans, who most of them right now, they're big tournament players.
Yeah, like, that was not the fan base you need to go after with this game. If you go up to any casual comic book fan and ask them who Gambit is, like, oh, that's that guy who throws cards. He's cool. Ask them who...
Dormammu is or whatever his name is?
Yeah, blank stare.
I mean, you're preaching to the choir. I still think it's a pretty good character list, minus the glaring Mega Man omission for me. Having Amaterasu in there is cool. Deadpool's cool. I mean, there's some nice things. More from the Capcom side, really, than the Marvel side. The Marvel side's kind of a mess. I don't like... The things that annoy me, like, multiple characters from games that don't need to have multiple characters in this. Like, they have Dante, and they're like, okay, that's cool. And then they have the girl from Devil May Cry.
Trish,
I'm like, well, what?
Like, there's like a hajillion Resident Evil
characters. Right, counting the Jill DLC, there's three Resident Evil characters. They had the screenshots for Jill, and it's Resident Evil 5 Jill, which I hate. Because she's suddenly a brunette now.
Right.
Like... No, she's suddenly blonde now, I mean.
Yeah, I knew what you meant.
But, yeah, she was always brunette, though, wasn't she?
I thought, yeah. I mean, everyone likes the Resident Evil 3 style Jill, you know?
Yeah, like, put her in a Stars uniform, do that blue tank top thing or whatever. Don't make her look like a Matrix reject. Like, but, like, Resident Evil 5, that was, like, a game where I was like, yeah, kind of a misstep there. Let's put 3 characters from it in our game.
Yeah, right?
Okay. Geez, I guess your buddies were, like, the guy who directed it or something? What?
Must be.
Honestly. But, you know, oh, that guy who made Mega Man left our studio, let's shove it to him. We'll put Mega Man characters from, like, Mega Man Legends and... Like, I can't believe Trombon's in it and not Mega Man. Mm. All right. But, yeah. Not great for Phoenix, right? Last one. Odds that the Wii 2 will be announced this year.
Again, I feel like it's something that should happen. Let me analyze if it will. I mean, they got the 3DS coming out. So they're going to be riding on some hype from that. I think they're finally feeling the sting of the Wii not being an HD system. It wasn't an issue as much when it launched, yeah, but, I mean, you can't not buy an HD TV now. And, I mean, I know just anecdotally at work when you know, people tell me what they're like, oh, I'm going to get this TV, I'm going to hook up my Wii and my Blu-ray player to it, so what cables do I need? I'm like, well, the Wii's not HD, so just use what you got. And they look at me funny like it's not. I'm like, no, that's what you bought. That's why it costs so little. And of course, the ideal way to do it would be one that could somehow play the old games and upscale them while still playing newer games or something, kind of like a DSi sort of thing. That's what should happen. What will happen is they probably won't. They'll continue just trying to play off the Wii. Because the thing is, Nintendo does fine on the Wii. Like, their games still look good. You know, they sell well. It's the third parties who are struggling to work within the limitations of the Wii, I think. So, there's no real incentive for them to do so. So I'm going to just go with, we'll say 15% chance.
The interesting thing is, it seems like Nintendo's biggest problem with the Wii was that they had no idea how to translate many of their IPs to Wii games. And now, like, you know, it's like, oh, how are we going to put motion controls in a...
No, they've basically given up.
No, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, they found the workaround. They've just given up, and they're making glorified Super Nintendo games.
Yeah.
Which are fun, but, I mean, that's what it is. You know, we've got to call a spade here. Donkey Kong Country Returns, that's awesome. But you could have made that game on a Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
Maybe not the graphics, but, I mean, you know, I mean, you could say, oh, you can make anything. No, but you know what I mean. Like, now the new Kirby... You know, there'll be another Wario game. I'm sure, you know, they're gonna like that. They've bought themselves a couple extra years now from this, basically. I think it should happen. I think they'll do it before anyone else does. Probably not this year, though. It's a dark horse possibility, only like a 20%. All right, then. Do you like that?
I did like that.
That was fun. Changed it up a little bit. All right. Have you been playing anything interesting?
Yeah, I have.
Well, then. Why don't you tell me about it?
Let's get the big one out of the way. Dead Space 2.
Yeah, we haven't actually talked about that. How are you?
Yeah, I picked up the game on PS3, and it is awesome. Like I said before, it's not doing anything groundbreaking, or it's just a super well-made game. Very scary. Very scary. I was jumping out of my seat a bit.
That's very nice.
Yeah, Pansy. But I mean, this. Yeah. Sound design is excellent. I mean, just it, you know, it's kind of like what people said the first game, how it kind of compares to BioShock and just the completeness of its world. It's just really well done. And what's cool about this one is it at least starts off in, like, a civilian area as these necromorphs are breaking out. So some people are running from them, some people get killed by them. You hear people just, like, locked in their apartments, like, being attacked by something and you can't do anything about it. There was one really creepy part where you just walk by a locked apartment and all you could hear inside is just a crying baby.
Whoa.
Yeah. Like, that was spooky. And the game just does a very good job of giving you enough, like, ammo and resources to get through a situation, but you always feel like you don't quite have enough of what you need. And you have to be careful, because if you do fuck around, you are going to be screwed. Like, I got into a situation where I had to fight a bunch of things. They kind of look like necromorph children that were like just swarming me, and I didn't really have a good high rate of fire weapon to take them out with, so I had to use the one gun that was like, it just shoots a really wide beam that just cuts through multiple enemies, so I had to be very careful of how I aimed it and fired at just the right times to take out as many as I could, because I didn't have a lot of shots of it. It took a couple tries, but once I finally pulled it off, I felt like just really accomplished. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, it's just really good. I really like it.
It's a pretty looking game too.
Right? Oh yeah, it's gorgeous. It looks fantastic.
I remember the first Dead Space looked really good.
And just that whole HUDless design and the way the game never takes you out of it. The only time that game ever takes you out of the experience is when you go to save and the PS3 save system comes up. But other than that, I mean, yeah, the immersion in this game, that's what makes it so scary, is the immersion. Just you forget almost that you're playing a game just because all the gaminess is taken out.
Yeah, I always loved that about the first one. Mm-hmm. I thought that was one of the most clever kind of workarounds menus. Because, like, it's still menus in a way, but, like, the fact that it's, like, projected it's kind of in this weird way, and they can still walk around, it's really neat.
Well, I was listening on the Mobcast. Jay Frechette, who is the community manager for the game, was on. He was talking about this talk one of the lead designers for the game gave. And he showed a scene from one of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre movies, and like this really grotesque, intense scene of the guys chasing this girl, and it's really intense and everything. And he plays the scene a second time, but he put an ammo counter and a targeting reticule on the screen. And immediately, all the tension of the scene was gone. Hmm. All of it. Hmm. So I thought that was pretty interesting. You know, you could see they definitely understand that aspect of it. I think that's going to be the way you see a lot more games going now, too, is how can we remove these gamey elements to make it more immersive.
Did you try the multiplayer at all?
Not yet. It's humans versus necromorphs. It sounds interesting. It kind of sounds like, remember that there was that mod for Half-Life Natural Selection?
Yeah.
Sounds like it could like kind of be reminiscent of that, which is awesome, because I love Natural Selection.
This is kind of random, but remember the Half-Life mod, the Opera?
Shit, I know the name. Which one was it?
That was the one that was like the Matrix, basically.
Yeah.
It had like a lot of hype, like, oh, it's going to be the next Counter-Strike. And it never took off.
That was pretty good.
Well, yeah, but it never took off.
I think it came out too late.
Yeah, very random reference there. Sorry about that. What else did you play?
I realized that, I don't know when I made this, but I had a Japanese PSN account. So I decided to download the demo for Catherine.
Oh, how'd that go?
It's a weird game. It's not what I was expecting at all. It's basically a puzzle platformer. Not platformer, that's the wrong word. Imagine if you took the controls of Qbert, mm-hmm. but you had elements where you had to pull and push blocks around so you could get up and down, and all the while you're being chased by some creepy zombie monster version of your girlfriend, Catherine, with a K.
Isn't your...
Yeah, I know.
Oh.
But that was not lost on me.
Oh, I find this game infinitely amusing now for some reason.
I mean, I honestly was expecting it was going to be some kind of Persona-style RPG or something, but basically it's this weird kind of puzzle navigation game with a strange quasi-hentai story around it.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, the whole plot is you sleep with this girl, Catherine, with a C, and you have this affair with her, and all this weird psychosexual stuff starts happening to you in your nightmares, and you're trying not to die from it. And, I mean, I don't truly know what's going on. I mean, it's all in Japanese.
Right.
But, yeah, it's interesting. The thing is, unless you're really into the story, I don't think there's enough gameplay here for this to be, like, a $60 game.
Well, you never know.
Yeah.
We'll think of something. There's probably some sort of weird collectibles element of it. You have to equip different cards so that you can move blocks better. Stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Typical Atlas stuff. Although we don't love it.
It looks good. I mean, I gotta say, like, the cell shading and everything, it looks better than the hand-drawn anime cutscenes that happen. Because, you know, they're just like, you know how anime doesn't quite look like it's running at, like, 24 frames per second?
Well, it's not.
Yeah, I know. But, like, the in-game cutscenes are running at a smooth 60, and they look very nice. I feel like they should have just done that.
Well, then. What else do you play?
Kingdom Hearts Recoded for DS.
Wait, you got it?
Gamefly sent it.
Oh.
Yeah, I like it.
Wow.
Probably more than I've liked any of the more recent Kingdom Hearts games.
Well, how far did you get?
How far? I just got... I'm in Traverse Town. I've saved Huey and Dewey. I'm about to go find Louie.
Okie dokie.
What I like. For one, it doesn't have, like, an hour-long tutorial,
right.
Which is nice.
Yeah, it's kind of,
you know,
different.
You get to start playing it. I like the leveling system. It reminds me of Final Fantasy X's leveling system.
Yeah, it is. That's the one thing grade. A lot of these kind of handheld Kingdom Hearts have done really well. They all have had really interesting leveling systems. Mm-hmm. That was the best thing about 3,500, 2 million days divided by 2, anyways.
I also like the system they have for your abilities is, you know, you can equip abilities, they're mapped to the X button on the DS, and then when you hold down L, you can scroll up and down with them with X and A, or B, the equivalents of triangle and X on a PlayStation controller. Anyway, but what's cool is you can combine abilities to create new ones, and then once you've learned or used it enough, then it just becomes a permanent single ability, which could then be combined with something else. So that's really
and
cool.
And that kind of magic system's, well, it's in Birth by Sleep, and even that's kind of taken from Crisis Core, remember?
Mm-hmm. With the Materia Fusion.
Right, it's a neat idea.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the stories, you know, it's a well-justified excuse to retread all this stuff, I guess.
Right, I mean, as they always are. But I'm just impressed at how much it plays like a Kingdom Hearts game, and it's on a DS.
Right, yeah, it plays very nicely. Controls work pretty well. I like how the platforming, like, they did, like, an almost Zelda sort of thing, where you still have a jump button, but also just running on an edge makes you jump as well.
See, a lot of people complain about the platforming, but I feel like it works mainly because they know they have camera limitations, so the platforming is very kind of...
It's grid-based.
It's very grid-based. So,
and you're using a D-pad, too, so it's easy to just... line up the camera and just start hitting forward.
Exactly.
You know?
So it's, yeah, I thought it worked surprisingly well.
Yeah, it's very good. It looks good.
So,
I like it.
What do you think of the new Mickey voice?
He's fine. I thought it was good.
All right, then. Anything else you play?
I feel like there's something else I'm forgetting. Oh, the Little Big Planet 2 demo.
Oh, you just played the demo?
Yeah.
I'm sure it was very Little Big Planet-y.
It was. Well, the demo has a level where you get to, like, do a lot of vehicles.
Oh, really?
Which is, like, one of the big things in the second game. They have direct control of vehicles now. That was cool.
See, like, when I've been playing so far, I haven't really been able, in single player, I haven't really done anything crazy like that. Like, I haven't done any of the genre-bending stuff yet.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's very Little Big Planet-y. There's those jump pads in it now, which a lot of people are like, oh, you fix the jumping by just doing jump pads. Yeah, you know what other game did that? Sonic.
Yeah, whatever.
That I could do without, but whatever.
But you don't like the jump pads?
They're fine.
I like them.
I just hope they don't become too reliant on them.
Well, they're fun. There's some really neat uses for them I've seen.
That's good. I mean, they're not like Sonic, where it's just like you just bounce from spring to spring pad, and like you have no control over it.
Mm-hmm. Right. I got no problem with that.
Right. Let's see. I think that's everything I played this week.
I've mostly just been playing Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
Good.
A lot, but I mean, it's like, you know how Assassin's Creed 2 was, even this is even worse. There's so much extra crap to do. Like, there's the whole element of the game where you can buy, like, shops and stuff and, like, rebuild Rome, and I'm sucked into that. Like, and, like, the neat thing is, instead of just, like, going to a tower to, you know, synchronize with it, a lot of them are owned by the bad guys. So first you have to go in there, and you're in, like, enemy territory, so you have to avoid detection. You have to find the leader, kill him, then you go to the tower and, like, set it on fire.
Oh, wow. So you don't just climb up and synchronize
anymore?
Right,
for most of them.
Okay, because I like the synchronizing for some reason. It always felt satisfying to get to the top of those things.
Well, yeah, there's still a tower that you have to go up to at the end.
Oh, man. Now, see, I might go play this for an hour before I go to bed after I'm done recording, because I've been wanting to get into that game. I was hoping to play some of it this week, but I ended up buying a desk at IKEA.
It is so crazy how I did not think that the single player was going to be as big as this. It is huge.
Yeah.
It's just as big as
that's the thing. I think they did a very poor job of communicating.
Right.
They focused too much on the multiplayer.
I think they did. And as good as the multiplayer is, too, I'm like, it literally frightens me that they made this game in a year.
Yeah.
I have no idea how they did that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a lot of assets they already had created and everything.
Right,
they just
built
the city, basically.
Yeah, but it mostly takes place in Rome, though, which you only visited a little bit at the end of Assassin's Creed 2.
Mm-hmm. And you weren't even in the city.
Yeah,
you were in
the Vatican.
It was basically just a level.
Right. It's so crazy how big it is. So I've been working
through it. Because I like Assassin's Creed a lot.
Yes, it's very fun to play through. There are some things where, like, there's some weird bugs or I have some frustrations where I'm like, if this game had another year, it might have been slightly ironed out, I guess. But I have no... Mm-hmm. It's not a deal breaker.
Have you gotten to the whole element yet where you're, like, recruiting your own assassins and everything?
Actually,
is that awesome?
Yeah, I didn't want to talk about that. That is awesome. Because the best is, like, you know, you can just stick your assassins on somebody, and, like, with just a push of the left bumper, and they'll just, like, you know, depending where they are, they can just jump out of nowhere and kill them. Or if you have a lot of assassins, you can hold down, like, the button, and it'll do an arrow like rain thing where they just all of them are killed by arrows.
That's cool.
And it's cool because like if you use an assassin, you have to wait for them to kind of cool down. So you know what I mean. It's really neat. And like there's this whole thing where you send them out to go do missions. You can get prizes and they level up. There's like I said, there is so much shit in this game. It's crazy how much you can do. Like I'm getting to the point where like I've been playing this game forever. I got to just beat it. As much fun as I'm having doing these things, I got some other shit to get to, you know? Like, it's crazy. It's huge.
Nice.
But that's really all I've been playing. I played the Bulletstorm demo before last week, so I already talked about that. Yeah, I don't really have anything else to talk about. Well, you know, I've been playing Ghost Trick a lot, too. Nothing new to say about it, except that I think it's amazing.
They brought out it is out on Japanese iPhones, and they just today released the iPad native version as well. So I'm kind of hoping they bring that to America on the iPad.
I don't care. Just go get it because it is an amazing game.
Yeah, but it'll cost $10 instead of
$30. Oh my gosh, it's worth $30. Trust me, it's beautiful. All right, here's our releases.
Okay,
Earthrise. Do you know what that is? It's for the
PC. Sort of MMO.
Yeah. Good luck with that. Call of Duty Black Ops First Strike. It's a map pack.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, it will sell a lot. One interesting thing with that whole thing with Infinity Ward is finding out how much politics goes into when these map packs release. There must be a lot of money in these stupid map packs. They probably know it.
No, I mean, think about it. It's four maps, which can't be that hard to make. And they charge $15 for it?
Yeah. Make it off my banks. Bionic Commando 2 Rearmed for 360...
MPS3.
MPS3, I was about to ask. Apparently not quite up to par of the last one.
That's too bad.
I mean, I told you jumping wouldn't ruin it.
Well,
did
is
I say
that why?
Jumping? Well, it's not.
I mean, Bionic Commando Rearmed 2, the jumping.
Well, oh, God. Well, it wasn't, I mean, I'm jumping, but I think really what they say is just that now that they're not just directly copying an old game, they don't really seem to have the same finesse for level design.
I see. You know what I mean? I think that's possible.
Right. Sims 3, Outdoor Living Stuff. That's a hilarious name. They should just call it Sims 3 Stuff. Sims Stuff.
And then Sims 3, More Stuff.
Yeah. Okay, whatever this game is, I like already. Dino Strike the Wii. It's a game where you must shoot various dinosaurs before they make you extinct. Oh, man. I love that. War Spirit Online, you look terrible. Is that an iPhone game or something?
It must be.
Online.
Icon. The Undergarden for PS3 is supposed to be very good.
Puzzle exploration experience for gamers who have an affinity for solving new style puzzles. What's a new style puzzle?
Well, it's updated from the old style puzzles.
What's an old style puzzle?
I don't know.
All right, then. Crap. Mr. Bean's Wacky World of Wii. What?
Huh?
I don't know.
Rowan Atkinson is on the cover.
I don't know what to say. Mr. Bean has a Wii game. That's like the first sign of the Wii apocalypse.
There's one also coming out for DS and it's out on PS2 as well.
Yeah, that sounds about right, doesn't it? If you're gonna make a Mr. Bean game, you're gonna pick three systems. Guess which ones it's gonna be on. Oh God, I guess that's it.
Oh, they have Pac-Man Championship Edition came out on PlayStation Minis, which means it's playable on PSP and PS3.
Oh, that's cool. Nice. It's not like the Super Championship Edition that came out, though?
The new one? No. Yeah. It's the older one. The first one.
Okay.
Which is still really good.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that's it. Anything else you want to say?
No.
No? All right, then. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. You can find more of us at exploringbro.wordpress.com. You can also find us on the iTunes Music Store, the Zoom Marketplace. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good week. Say goodbye, AJ.
Goodbye.
And we'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast. Have a good Super Bowl. Go Packers.